avoid all short shirt controversy. Or have trouble with that again, short shirt. To avoid all short shirt controversy, I'm now wearing a jacket over the shirt I wore yesterday. Because I don't sweat. Right, this stuff's easy for me. No, I can wear the same shirt 3 or 4 days in a row. I just told you, I don't sweat. No, this is easy. This isn't really hard work. I've been looking into this stuff for years, and I love it. It's a part of my being. It flows out. So, no, it does not flow out in the form of sweat. I'm sorry. Plus, they had the air conditioner on here, so I suppose otherwise I would be sweating. Hello again, everyone. We're closing out the week here, and much thanks to Twinkle Toes. Alice. No, it's not Twinkle Toes. Oh, yeah, Tapioca Toes. Sorry. Thanks to Tapioca Toes, Alice, who sent us an email of great epicness on Monday. And because of that, we have been all week finding out what God is going to do about atheists. What a problem God has. Oh, no. People don't believe in him. Jeez, if only he was God of the universe. Yeah. He's the subjector. I don't think that he considers atheists an insurmountable curveball, as if God is standing at the plate at Yankee Stadium, a stadium of our invention, and we're throwing him some fast pitches, and we're throwing him this, and we're throwing him that, and suddenly somebody says, throw him the curveball. What the curveball is? Curveball is an atheist. Let's see what he does with an atheist. A swing and a miss, and God is sent back to the bench. You can just see him dragging his bat behind him, his head down, shuffling back to the bench. Poor God. We thought of something he never thought of. What if somebody just doesn't believe in you? And unfortunately, he had a good idea. He sent Jesus Christ, his own son, to the cross, hopefully to rectify things like atheists. But no, the atheists proved to be more of a challenge than he anticipated. Therefore, his plan of salvation is for naught. He went to the plate, gave it the good old try, i.e. Calvary, sending his own son to die, the most miserable death analogy. Sorry, kid. You could have had a V8, but instead, now you had to settle for water and tonic or whatever, and you swung and you missed. Jesus Christ didn't quite get the job done. Wanted to, but didn't. Human will proved to be stronger. Ooh, if that was true, then I would eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die. Actually, I eat, drink, and be merry anyway. The only difference is tomorrow I might die, but then I will be resurrected for eternity to be with God and rule the universe. I like that truth. Now, I told you yesterday that I was going to share Colossians 1:20. I got to get back to this letter. I should say this article, Atheists in the Rain. You remember where I got the rain thing, right? Atheists in the Rain? Martin, why'd you name your article that? You can find it at martinsender.com under articles. Because God sends the rain to the just and the unjust alike. That's why. Now, I'm going to get back to that and finish it up this week. I'm not going to leave that hanging over the weekend. Colossians 1. Oh, by the way, don't forget about the conference. Or, for those of you in France, the conference. In Birmingham, Alabama, May 17th and 18th. Go back a couple shows. I gave you the contact. I told you to call Laura Johnston because she's the queen of the conference. That's my title for her. She doesn't call herself that. Remember, her number is 205-335. Or is that a 7? Doggone it. 8342. Try both numbers. Try 205-335-8342. And if somebody answers, hello, that's not her. Okay, then try 337, and then if somebody says, hello, that would be her, because she's very kind, and her voice goes, hello, she's got a nice southern accent. So, Colossians 1, this is a parallel verse to Romans 11:36, Colossians 1:16, for in him, Jesus Christ, is all created, that in the heavens and that on the earth. That's the context. Martin, all doesn't always mean all. You have to take it in the context. You know what? I agree with you. Let's look at the context. The context is all is created in him, that in the heavens and that on the earth. The visible, the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or sovereignties or authorities, all is created through him and for him. Did we get that ironed down pretty good there? Nothing accepted? Okay. And he is before all, and all has its cohesion in him. This is where the atheists come in. Atheists are cohering in him. The cohesion of the atheist lung sacs and the cohesion of the pericardium that surrounds the precious atheist heart and the epidermis of the atheist that coheres around the sinews, the tendons, and the muscles of the atheist all do so through the power of Christ. Otherwise, they would explode. Or possibly implode, but I lean toward explode. Apart from the sustaining power, the cohesive power of Christ. Now, let's continue. And he is the head of the body. I'm in verse 18 now of Colossians chapter 1. The ecclesia, who is sovereign. This is another subject here. Really, he's the head of the body, the ecclesia. Now we're talking about us. Sovereign, firstborn from among the dead, that in all he may be becoming first, especially with us, because as I told you yesterday, we're chosen first so that the rest may come through our agency as we are acting through the authority of Jesus Christ, who is our head. For in him the entire complement, that is everything God is, delights to dwell. I'm not going to get into that subtopic. And through him to reconcile all to him. Oh, there's that all again. In verse 20, it's the same all of verse 16. That is, in him all is created. Jump down to verse 20. Through him to reconcile all to him. The same all that came out of him is the same all going to be reconciled to him through Christ, whether those on the earth or those in the heavens. Love that truth. Now, back to the atheist article. I'm not going to leave the atheist hanging like I left poor Nebuchadnezzar hanging next to his hanging gardens. One of the seven wonders of the world. Which number was that? The Hanging Gardens of Babylon. I don't remember. Who cares? Let's see. Yeah, the part of the verse I want to emphasize, that is Romans 11:36. Back to my article. Is all things live through him. God sustains all creation. Nothing that lives, lives apart from him. What keeps atheists alive? Their own wickedness? The devil? Neither. God keeps atheists alive for, quote, all things live through him, unquote. Even at the cross, Christ gave breath to the very soldiers who cursed him, such as grace. Let us never become exclusive by imagining ourselves the only recipients of grace. Either God sustains and supports atheists or someone else does. Either God sustains and supports atheists or grace fails. How could grace include everyone but them without losing its essential meaning? How could God tell mortal men, quote, love your enemies, if he himself is incapable of doing the same? This is good stuff. Can I say that? Grace, by definition, is favor shown to those who deserve the opposite. If grace includes us four and no more, then grace loses its essential meaning. That is, favor shown to those who deserve the opposite. Because those who deserve the opposite would be bad people. People who do iniquity. Atheists. Unbelievers. Grace must include them, or it loses its definition. That is, favor given to those who deserve the opposite. Such as grace. In this, how could God tell human beings, frail, weak, mistake-ridden, sinning human beings to love their enemies? And he does. Love your enemies. How could he do that if he himself is incapable of doing the same? Job 8:20 says this, behold, God will not support evildoers. Oh boy, that verse just knocked the air out of my whole argument. God will not support evildoers. I guess the author of the church sign was right. But wait a minute, who said that in Job 8:20? Oops, it was Bildad. Bildad, yeah. What mother would name her son Bildad? It's no wonder that Bildad would say something stupid like this. Because if your name is Bildad to begin with, no, things are not going to go well for you in this life. Never name your son or daughter Bildad. If you have to name somebody, name your son, but not your daughter. It was Bildad the Shuhite. Oh God, not a Shuhite. Not a Shuhite from Shu. A Shuhite hails from the great metropolis of Shu. He was one of Job's so-called friends. But what does God say of the sayings of Bildad? Well, we don't have to guess, we know. Job 42:7. The Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite. Now, if you're from Teman, good to go. Just don't be from Shu. Eliphaz was a Temanite. He knew the deal. He said this, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thee. What did Eliphaz was good? Why was God's wrath kindled against Eliphaz? He's a Temanite. All right, I'm going to look into this later. Anyway, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right. Ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right. And he's including Bildad, the Shumite there. So what Bildad said was not right. So all we have to do is go back and find out what Bildad said, and that's not right. What did he say? Behold, God will not support evildoers. Quote. That's the quote from Bildad. God will not support evildoers. God says concerning Bildad, he's not spoken of me what is right. My conclusion, therefore it is wrong. Therefore, God will not support evildoers. That's wrong. God does support evildoers. In fact, he enables them to do evil. He hardens whom he will, Romans chapter 9. He creates vessels of dishonor, Romans, the same chapter, chapter 9. God would say the same thing, that is, you have not spoken of me what is right, to the fashioner of the terrible church sign. I wonder if they know that their doctrine is that of Bildad. Do they know? Do the fashioners of the church sign know that their doctrine, that God does, that atheists have no invisible means of support, is the doctrine of Bildad? God help you if your doctrine is that of Bildad. So we rightly conclude that God supports evildoers. But then the question arises, why does he do that? Because, as with Pharaoh, doers of evil help fulfill God's purpose. What? Doers of evil help fulfill God's purpose. Martin, you got to give me a verse on that. All right, how about I give you three? Proverbs 16:4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea. Love it when the word yea is in a verse. Even the wicked for the day of evil. He makes the wicked for himself. That's not me, that's Proverbs 16:4. Isaiah 54:16, God speaking, I have created the waster to destroy. I have created the waster to destroy. Why? Because God wants some things destroyed. Why? So that they can remain destroyed forever? No. I kill and I make alive, the Lord God says. So he also destroys and rebuilds, and he makes it better. Even nature tells you that. You break a bone and it rebuilds and it becomes stronger because it makes up for the possibility of being broken again. The same thing when you work out your muscles. When you're doing bench presses or barbell curls, you're actually breaking down the muscle. And when it rebuilds, it says, uh-oh, this guy's crazy. He's going to tear us down perhaps again, so we're going to rebuild stronger. So that's a natural principle. God follows this principle. Here's another verse for you, Romans 9:17. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, yes, that evil Pharaoh, Yul Brynner, right? Yul Brynner, the Pharaoh of the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. Reminds me of the verse we read weeks ago, it seems now, in Jeremiah 29. God says, I have taken you into Babylon. This is how you are to behave in the land where I have taken you. What? I thought it was Nebuchadnezzar. Only relatively. Absolutely, it was God who did it. Another dictionary definition of support is maintenance, as of a person or family. One way God raises up his pharaohs and keeps them there is by supporting them physically. Yeah, God not only raises them up, he keeps them there. He sustains them in their iniquity because he needs them. He needs them to be iniquitous so that they can vex and persecute his chosen ones, so that his chosen ones can be rewarded for enduring persecution. You can't be persecuted unless there are persecutors, and there cannot be persecutors unless God raises them up and sustains them in their percusatory ways. Percusatory ways. That's what persecutors have. Percusatory ways. Thus, quote, he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth, according to the Englishman of 1611, he sendeth. I would prefer if he just sent the rain, but okay. Let's say he sendeth it. That's fine. He sendeth the rain on the just and on the unjust, For if ye love them which love you, what love have ye? If ye love them which love you, what love have ye? God follows his own principle. That's Matthew 5:46, by the way. We're winding down this article, thank God. Oh my gosh, I'm way over time, and my gosh, I got like four paragraphs left. Will you forgive me if I wrap this up on Monday? I thought I was going to crank it down into a nice, neat package, but that doesn't happen here. We color outside the lines here at the Martin Zender Show. So on Monday, we're gonna finish this up, and then probably I'm going to get back to Jeremiah 29 and show you how this is a parable, is an analogous to Romans 13. Then we're going to talk about loving your enemies. Then poor Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to bring him out of the field. We're going to bring him, God's going to restore him, and we're going to put a microphone to his lips, and we're going to interview him and ask him what he thinks now. What do you think now? And he is going to make an amazing pronouncement that not even Christians can make today. Can't wait to bring you that truth. This has been Martin Zender. Have a good weekend.